This lesson actually started out more of a challenge to myself than anything else. I had read yet another article about how the song Precious Memories was such a poor example of a song. Lacking scriptural foundation, just a series of platitudes in it, and really not a great song. I've seen this mentioned several times. And as I pointed out to the author of the last one, I pointed out, well, there's two ways you could look at that. It said either it really is lacking scriptural foundation to it, and this really doesn't belong in our songbooks, or maybe the scriptures that are founded on are ones that you're not really familiar with. And that's the reason why you can't call them to mind at the moment, because I read through the words of this song, and there's actually several verses that quickly appear in my mind that it's related to. And he wrote back and said, well, I'd like to see what you come up with. So I decided, well, there's a nice challenge, and I wanted to work my way through it. See, one of the things about songs is it's hard to write songs. It is very, very difficult to write songs. At least from my point of view. I'm not a poetic person, if you haven't figured that out yet. Poetry and I just don't match. I like reading poetry sometimes. Not just generally, but certain poems I do like to read, but I don't think that way. But my mind doesn't work that way. But in order to get a song to express it, you have to basically, you're working with rhythm, you're working with words, you're working with rhyming, and that limits your word choices. And when you're looking at a song and when you're trying to evaluate whether a song is worth singing, you have to really look at it not as if whether you can take a song wrong, but whether a song can be seen as right. Because there's a limited number of words there, so you can twist about anything in the wrong way. Question is, can you look at it and see the right behind it? And that's what really makes a song worth singing. Now, before I get into it, I did want to give you at least a little bit of background to this song. I thought it was kind of interesting. This song, Precious Memories, was written by John Basleton Fillmore Wright. Usually your songbooks will just say JBF Wright. He was born in Tennessee on February 21st, 1877. He was the fifth of 12 children. His parents moved to Box Church in Limestone County, Texas in 1879. He grew up there, married a local girl named Fanny Jackson, and from there they left home and moved around Texas for many years. In 1909, his mother died. Mr. Wright later told Clint Bonner, who's a hymnologist, historian for hymns, that he remembered her as one of the sweetest singers in her generation. His father died 5 years later in 1914. And he also told this story. He said, we lived by the railroad in Hamlin, Texas. Little three-year-old Everett, he had children by this time, would watch for the cranes, as he would say it, as he would call them. And he would stand in front of the front gate and wave his little hands at the trainmen as they passed our house. They would always wave back at him. On Sunday evening, January 22nd in 1922, he, Everett, was stricken by membranes croup, which is we now know called diphtheria. And the next day, as the sun went down, our little boy was dead. For many days after this, when the trains would pass, trainmen would be watching for little Everett to wave, but he was not there. Many times I watched them looking for him, and I wept and I cried. Over a year later, on the night of October 23rd, 1923, he wrote Precious Memories. He sold the song to V.O. Stamps, who published it in 1925 in a hymn book named Harbor Bells. J.B.F. Wright was listed as the owner, but Mr. Stamps neglected to include the copyright date on that original publication. There was a verbal agreement, according to Mr. Wright's distant cousin, Nellie Wright, that John would be paid royalty for each time the song was recorded, but he only received one $36 check. Mr. Stamps died soon afterwards, and his heirs would not honor the agreement. Instead, they filed a copyright in their company's name for the song in 1938. J.B.F. Wright then died October 13, 1959, never being paid but once for the song he's most remembered for. Later on in 1966, Stamps Baxter renewed their copyright, having Lonnie B. Combs add an additional stanza to the song. This was a common tactic of theirs. When a copyright ran out or there was questions about ownership, they would claim ownership of the new song by having it slightly modified. So basically, he wrote a beautiful song and it was stolen from him, for the most part. Unless you want to count being paid a small sum for it. But what we're more interested in, not is the background of the song, but the song itself. The question is whether this is an appropriate spiritual song for us to sing. The first verse, and I'm only going to use the original verses. I skipped over the one that Stamps and Baxter added. Precious memories, unseen angels, sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and sacred past unfold. Now, one of the things we need to remember from our Bible is that the word angels means messenger. The angels are God's messengers. They brought God's word to mankind in the past. Take a look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, so the word was brought in the Old Testament, he's talking about the Old Testament, through the work of angels. They were God's messengers. So here in this song, it says that the precious memories. Memories are called unseen angels. In other words, unseen messengers sent to remind me and to stay with me. Well, think about that. We need to consider those who taught us. There are things that we learned in childhood that tends to stay with us. Timothy is a good example of this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, it says, 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And jumping down to chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, it says, you, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy learned from his mother. He learned from his grandmother. Things that he had learned in childhood, Paul's telling him, don't forget those things. You learned the sacred writings. They had a faith that they passed down to you. Don't forget those things. We can also have memories of our teachers, not just our parents, but other teachers as well. Again in 2 Timothy, this time chapter 2. And in verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Part of being a Christian is the passing down of the knowledge of God's Word. Teaching one generation to the next so that it can be remembered. In the Old Testament, the Levites were the teachers of the law. And they were seen as messengers of God because of their duty. Take a look at Malachi. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. When somebody teaches, that's something we got to understand and realize. When someone's teaching God's word, they are functioning as messengers for God. That's why it's such an important thing that we need to keep in mind every time we teach. It's not about us. It's not about the teacher. We're messengers on behalf of God. And we served God by teaching others and living by that word. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 6, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of sound doctrine which you have been following. Teaching doesn't just benefit the students, it also benefits the teacher as well. But you know, most important, not only are the teachings that we get from our parents, teachings of those who taught us as we were growing up and as we became Christians, but it's the teachings of God itself that's within the Word of God. His records of the past, which are most important. We read this verse this morning, but in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. It is the records of the past, the memories of what happened in the distant past, recorded by angels, as we already mentioned, angels of whom we did not see, but they were recorded for us. In fact, take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1 and verse 10. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you make careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. We don't often think about it. Why is the Old Testament there? Why do we have records of all these people? Peter says it was because God was recording a message for Christians today, so that we might know, so that we might remember. And it's not just the old, but it's the new as well. Take a look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter seems to be written not long before Peter's death. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, Peter says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you may be able to call these things to mind. For we do not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and with such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter wrote these things down so that we would not forget. We need to keep the gospel in mind. We need to keep Peter's writings in mind. We need to keep Paul's writings in mind. We need reminders. We need our memories stirred up so that the things that we have learned are always fresh in our minds. So when we look at that verse, he's not talking about necessarily his memories of his childhood, because he's talking about the sacred past that was unfolded. Those linger with him and stay near to him. Those are the ones sent from somewhere. With reference to heaven. To my soul. The next verse says, precious Father, loving Mother, fly across the lonely years and old home scenes of my childhood in fond memory appears. Now this verse is not in our psalm book. This, the editor chose to, and this is a very common one for most of the editors to drop out. But if you think about it, repeatedly in Proverbs, we're told not to forget the teachings of our father and our mother. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 1, when we pay attention to what our parents have taught us, Proverbs 1, starting with verse 8, says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. Indeed, they are graceful wreaths to your head and ornaments about your neck. They make you look better. They make you look good. We're not talking about just any old teaching. We're talking about teachings that follow after God. When they have given us good teachings according to God's law, take a look at Proverbs 4 and verse 1. It says, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Our parents are duty-bound to teach us God's Word. And they teach us how to make good choices and how to teach other people the truth. In Proverbs 5, again in verse 1, my son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion, your lips may reserve knowledge. Discretion is the ability to make good choices. Knowledge is the truth. In fact, in the New Testament, we are told to honor our parents so that our lives will be longer and better. In Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and starting with verse 2, it says, honor, or we'll start with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It is in part because our parents taught us what God wanted us to know. And so we carry with us memories of our childhood teachings. In fact, Solomon recalled his own father's teachings. Solomon's father was David. Going back to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 3, it says, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother? Then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. David taught Solomon. Solomon, when he was older, remembers and thinks back, well, David taught me this. And then this is what he was taught. He says, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Have you ever thought of why Solomon, when he was asked by God, just name what you want, and I'll give it to you? Why a young king, probably still barely out of childhood, of all the things he asked for wisdom? What brought that to mind? Well, here's a hint. He's been taught from childhood the importance of having wisdom. And so Solomon then passes it down to his children and to us as well. Verse 10, it says, hear my son and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom, and I led you in the upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, then you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Think about it. You are parents. Not only are you to remember your childhood, but think about it from the other direction too. What memories are you leaving for your children? Will they remember your wisdom, your prayers, your songs, your joy as a child of God? And when you pass on, what kind of legacy will you have left behind? Take a look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. It's not just about money. When we go, we want to leave something that our grandchildren still remember us about, and talk about us, and think about us. Because we won't always be around. Well, we like to think we're going to be here to see our great-grandchildren. But not all of us will make it that long. In Psalms 103, and in verse 13, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, and as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and is in his place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The best legacy we can leave is the knowledge of God's righteousness, because that endures forever, passing from generation to generation down. And this verse basically talks about that fact. He looks back at his childhood and remembers his parents with fond memories. In the next verse it says, in the stillness of the midnight, echoes from the past I hear, old time singing, gladness bringing from the lovely land somewhere. This is a verse that popped into my head, was in Psalm 77. There were times when David, being king, had trouble sleeping. Most of us understand that with lots of things that are on our mind, things that we need to be considerate of. And David says in Psalm 77, starting with verse 2, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remembered God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. You have held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever? And will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Then I said, it is my grief that at the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples." There are things that troubled David quite a bit. And yes, the nights are times for memories to arise and for us to contemplate all that it means. David said he considered the past. Again, look at verse 5 and 6. "I considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart. My spirit ponders." He's thinking back to all that what he knows, all that he remembers, and all that he was taught. And he had a lot of questions. But did you notice the answer? At the end, he realizes that the past taught him that God works wonders. Again, look at verses 11 through 14. It says, "I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples." There was the answer to all of David's questions, found in the memories of the past. And remember that David talked about the songs in the night in verse 6. What is it about songs? The songs are tools to help us teach. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." We teach one another with our songs. Going back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father." Song is our way of communicating with God, but it's also a way to communicate with one another, to help us understand and help us to remember. You know, there's sometimes there's things that we can't recall, but if you can just think of the two, if you don't understand that, go through the books of the Bible. Think about the little song that you were taught when you were a little kid, and suddenly you can remember all the names of the books of the Bible in their proper order. Melodies help keep ideas in our minds. And David recalled all that God had taught him and realized the joy that he had. Take a look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And in verse 6. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. David says, I remember the songs in the night. And here he talks about the joy that comes with it. The author here of this song talks about the old-time singing. Words that come from somewhere, again from God. Words that remind him of his place in life. He goes on to say, as I travel on life's pathway, know not what the years may hold. As I ponder, hope grows fonder, precious memories flood my soul. Now, none of us know what the future holds. In James chapter 4, we're warned about that. James 4 and verse 14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We just don't know what's going to be in the future for any of us. Now, Paul looked, and one of the things that carried Paul through his difficult times, though, was his memory of his brethren. Take a look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1 verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayers with joy in my every prayer for you all. What a memory to carry. There are brethren that just, every time I think of them, just fill me with joy. That helps somebody who's going through a rough time. Paul was in prison when he wrote that. Here's a way he got through it. And yet, we can travel life's path more confidently with memories of what we've learned. Going back to Proverbs, this time to chapter 6. Proverbs 6, starting with verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are a way of life. Through it all, good or bad, our hope of heaven remains. Going back to Colossians chapter 1, this time to verses 3 through 6. Colossians 1, starting with verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you have heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. We have hope because of God's word. We can carry it with us through our memories. And we find ourselves grounded in the Spirit's teachings. Going to Philippians, or sorry, not Philippians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in earth and heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power of that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so the writer continues and says, precious memories, how they linger. How they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. See, Precious Memories is a song that teaches an important spiritual concept. The importance of remembering the past. The teachings we received, the examples we were shown, they're not trivial. They're important for every one of us. In Psalm 78, Psalm 78, starting with verse 1, Asaph says this, listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. See, not all memories are pleasant. Sometimes we have to learn lessons on what not to do. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example. They were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed that he does not fall. Sometimes people look at things like that. Well, my parents didn't teach me was right. My parents weren't Christians. There's still lessons to be learned. And it's God's teachings that guide us most. But in our memories of God's word, there is guidance that leads us ever onward to heaven. Going back to Colossians chapter 1 one more time. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 21. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. We got to stay in with what God has taught us. It can't be something that we just hear. It's something we have to hear and we have to do. In James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and has gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. How do I remember all the things I ought to do? James's answer is put it into practice. Finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul makes this statement. 1 Corinthians 11, and in verse 2, he says, Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. That is what impressed Paul. His brethren remembered what he taught them. We ought to remember. Remember the lessons from our childhood. Remember the lessons brethren brought to us. Remember the songs that we learned. Remember God's word and God's teachings. Those are precious memories that will guide us through life and get us to heaven. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing this song that was selected.